And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Hagman and Hagman coming at you from our radio and television studios here live, Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live every weeknight. That's 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on the Global Star Radio Network. That's the place to be. The Global Star Radio Network, of course. Simulcast BTR and, of course, on YouTube Live. Thanks for joining us tonight. Got a lot to get into. First segment, we're going to be taking a closer look at some of the issues facing us. You know, it's very interesting that we see things breaking the way they are, and put a lot of thought into the research, into the headlines. You know, the vast majority of people who claim they want to know the truth don't really want to know the truth, in my view. They're captured by the captured media. And I think the majority of people in this country have got Stockholm syndrome. That's just my personal opinion. Folks, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, fellow investigative researcher. My son Joe Hagman together with something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. The show tonight is going to, how this is going to go, the first hour is going to be dedicated to getting a deeper look, closer look into the headlines. And of course, hour two is Holly Deo is coming on. A rare appearance. Let me tell you, Holly Deo, we're blessed to have Holly Deo. I don't know how many people ever heard Holly Deo speak. I mean, speak on air.
She's rare. Famous author of the book Dare to Prepare.
Yeah.
As well as the book I have in my hand, Prophetic Perils. This is another encyclopedia of information pertaining to end time events, as well as other survival information, and the history of so many of the atrocities we've seen committed by governments in the last 100 to 200 years. Sure. It's going to be a fantastic book. And a rare appearance with Holly Deo. She's been on before, and it is far and few between due to her busy schedule. But her book, Dare to Prepare, alone, we call the Survival Encyclopedia. It's a must-have for any person who has preps, and it is a tool that not only gives you the information that you need to know as far as how to survive, but it shows you and explains to you how to be resourceful with what you have in order to survive. Right.
And Prophetic Perils is a new, a different genre altogether. Where's hair and makeup, by the way, in here? Because I had a wire hanging down and no one even fixed it. I had to see that on the...
Oh, hair and makeup. We were...
Come on, hair and makeup.
We had opened a bottle of scotch before the show and
don't even joke about that, because you know no, somebody's going to make an issue.
I was in the studio and I saw... I guess I didn't see it before. There was this old bottle of whiskey, and I pulled it out. I said, "Eric, what do you think?" And he said, "No, not before the show."
No. Let me ask you: has that bottle ever been opened?
No, I don't think it's open.
No, that was a gift, actually. And
it looked nice, though. It was just admiring it. But anyway,
that's right.
Got a lot to get into tonight.
Yeah, a portion of the nice broadcast brought to you by, and you were talking about survival. But survival preps. Look, folks, the perfect survival cooking stove. If you think you're prepared, and if you've got your preps, and you're the mentality that we are, that you need to be prepared for any eventuality, I think. Well, Minuteman Rocket Stove. It is the perfect, absolute perfect cooking stove for you and your family for a couple of reasons. It's a biomass burning stove. It requires only a small amount of sticks, twigs for fuel. Okay, you're always going to be able. You will always be able to find enough fuel for the Minuteman rocket stove, even if you live in a city or in the suburbs. This is why it's perfect for your needs, folks. More on this later. But
Kern, is it 1400 degrees?
Yeah, a little ouch. Like that? Ouch. Yeah. No, the website. Go there now, MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Seriously, go there, and you think, well, I've got the cooking part of this handled. I've got whatever. Now, this thing, if it can survive a fall from my tank in the way I drive and do more damage to the vehicle I was driving than the no damage to the rocket stove itself. Let me tell you something. That's something that you really need. It's a testimony to the creators and to the workers in America who made this American-made beauty. That's MinutemanStove.com, folks.
And for a limited time, you get free shipping, and you get a free small fire starter with each Minuteman rocket stove ordered through the website.
You do?
Just for a short time.
Okay.
So limited time
only. There you go.
Free shipping and a free small fire starter. With each stove that you order, go to Minuteman Rocket Stove or call 252-996-0856.
All right. So you need to go there. And those fire starters are amazing. I was playing with one at my home, and
I got one with an arm's range.
Don't do that. Don't do that. No, I got one. I was playing with it in my home, and we have a little area where there's wood that's burnt and stuff. Boy, you talk about lighting up tinder. It did in seconds. And,
even when it's wet. I mean, aside from the stove, crazy. The fire starters are, worth the price of admission, because they could be lifesavers in the worst types of scenarios that you might find yourself in without access to any type of fuel.
Yeah. And that's, you know, something, and you know, we talk about preparation, and this leads us into a larger area. Sometimes when you're immersed in the internet and the headlines and all the stuff that you look at, you've got to get away and, kind of put things in perspective and balance. All right, life goes on, and I guarantee you that whatever the short-term events or whatever the events in the short term may happen, whatever events might happen, you're going to have a period of normalcy. Remember when the Operation Desert Storm began and the shelling in Baghdad as the sun rose. If you watched it live back in '91, if you recall that. Was that when it was? Yeah, 91, I think. You may recall Wolf Blitzer and others saying, yeah, people are going to work. You know, people are driving to work, just not driving to work. This is after the Allies shelling the Americans and the coalition forces bombing Baghdad. Yeah, people going, coming to work. So you have a period of normalcy. So don't get stressed and don't, when you hear these headlines that we're going to be talking about, when you think about all the possibilities, You can't let your mind be held hostage to these, because you know there's going to be a period of normalcy built within the whatever crisis we face. So let's get to the headlines, Joe.
Yeah, this first segment we're going to take a closer look at a number of Hillary Clinton issues. That is a closer look. Hillary Clinton has been in the news frequently this last 3 to 6 months and beyond for a number of important issues. There are so many headlines that are coming out now and so much that is going on. Dad, I know you got some stuff you want to get into with Vince Foster, but I'm going to open with this. There has been some revelation as far as Vince Foster and Hillary Clinton, as well as the Hillary Clinton body count. Now, folks, if you can believe this, Google has stepped in to hide the Clinton body count search suggestion results. When you go to search engines like Yahoo, AOL, or whatever other search engines are prevalent out there, and you start typing the words Clinton body, you will see it auto finish with auto suggest, and it usually says Clinton body count. Well, on Google, if you have no past search of Hillary Clinton body count on your computer, it will not put auto suggest finish that thought. Instead, it will write Hillary Clinton, you know, body double, or Hillary Clinton body injury, censoring the search results. Now, it's not just the health. It's not just health that is being censored either. Interestingly enough, just very recently, the Hillary Clinton and her results, search results, have been scrubbed pertaining to Vince Foster. FBI files linking Hillary Clinton to Hillary Clinton to the suicide of White House counsel Vince Foster have vanished from the National Archives.
Suicide. Wrong word, but go on.
Documents describing Hillary Clinton's role in the death of White House counsel Vince Foster have vanished. Daily Mail Online has learned after an extensive investigation. Foster is believed to have shot himself with a .38 caliber revolver at Fort Marcy Park along the Potomac River on July 20th, 1983. Two FBI agents involved in the investigation...
That'd be 93, by the way.
I'm sorry. 93. Anyway, what has been happening here, and this is not an isolated incident, and we can go over these individually, but we'll just list the titles one by one and we'll come back over them. New York Tech Giants columnist calls on Google to hide Hillary's search results. Again, also, Google hides Clinton body count searches. Now, Hillary Clinton's connection to the suicide of Vince Foster, the files, FBI files, have now been erased, disappeared.
They did this as well. Okay, so they did this as well, Joe, with the McCarthy documents. Okay, now, folks, remember, we had talked so much about this. In the 1990s, 40 years after Joe McCarthy died, after the McCarthy hearings, that the progressives, National Socialists, all that, you know, and McCarthy became a verb, or you know, McCarthyism, talk about this, about how it was a witch hunt for communist infiltration into our government. Joe, they did this, the exact same thing, with the National Archives in the 1990s, with the McCarthy files. Folks, M. Stanton Evans, a great author. If you've not read Blacklisted by History, it's a huge book. In his research for that book, went to the National Archives, found zero about his speech in Wheeling, West Virginia. It was removed. Found zero at the Wheeling newspaper. It was removed. So, bear that in mind. Go ahead.
Now, this is becoming a trend with Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's health records are being censored by the media and internet. The other records that are being censored are the body count records. There are doctors' reports that are being censored, or doctors' opinions about Hillary Clinton that are being censored, as well as the email scandal that has come back up in the news, as 14,900 more documents in Clinton email probe have emerged. Also, the Army operational Army OPSEC briefs list Hillary Clinton and David Petraeus as examples of insider threats. Elite Army operational security brief appears to show Democratic primary nominee Hillary Clinton and David Petraeus as potential insider threats. Admins of the Facebook page U.S. Army Movements told the Daily Caller News Foundation this is the second time they've received a picture of this particular slide in the last 6 months. They posted the slide on their page Sunday. And in the slide, It is a U.S. Army training document that is used like what are those called? Projectors.
All somebody's right, we'll
giving a, in the classroom. Somebody's giving a class, and they're using a projector to show slides all to right. the classroom. Now, on this picture, you can see the tops of heads of the people attending sitting in the rows, and on the screen it says "Who is a threat?" It says "Insider."
Were you able to get that up or, on the video or no?
I can send it to Eric.
Okay, no, don't worry about that. That's fine.
But it says "Insiders." It lists Nadal Hassan,
right.
Bradley Manning, Edward Snowden, David Petraeus, and Hillary Clinton.
Okay, so wait, let's put this in perspective because this is important.
I don't want you to see this picture.
All right,
so.
No, but this is important. So, what's the headline on there?
The headline is
no, on the image.
Oh, insider threats.
Okay, insider to who?
U.S. Army. USAWTFM, whatever the acronym
Field Training
stands
Manual,
for.
I believe.
Okay. So United States Army.
Yeah, it's Field Training Manual for that. All right.
Out of Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri.
Okay.
And it goes on to say that this came from a service member station there at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri, and that this is the second time that they have used this slide in their presentations.
Interesting.
Listing Nadal Hassan, Bradley Manning, Edward Snowden, as well as David Petraeus and Hillary Clinton as insider threats, saying they're careless or disgruntled employees.
All right, you can almost excuse the first or the middle two, Snowden and Manning. Okay, based on historical public evidence, you can almost excuse that, but to throw in Nadal Hassan, which is interesting anyway, because he's the Fort Hood or the shooter in Fort Hood, right? Yeah,
yeah. And okay. then Petraeus, who was found guilty of the same crimes Hillary Clinton was accused of, mishandling of classified information, which he was actually forced to step down and given a probation term, which was lucky was not turned into a jail sentence.
Right. So this slide, this overhead slide, was included in this briefing. So
the
it's
Army,
very interesting.
Yes, certain branches of the Army at certain camps are teaching their recruits or service members that Hillary Clinton is an insider threat. But just guessing here, it's due to her email scandal, as she used unclassified.
That's got to be a dated slide, because to have Manning on there, Petraeus on there, Petraeus is gone, Manning is long gone, Nadal Hassan is long, long gone.
I don't know. I mean, article is from today.
Well, right, but documenting is something that happened years ago, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, just to be clear to the audience, because people will accuse us of saying, well, wait a minute, you know, this is not happening today. And obviously not, but nonetheless, there it is. Okay.
But, folks, that's on the Daily Caller if you want to find that article about the Clinton being her picture being called an insider threat at an U.S. Army sure. base being trained or training troops. Now, the FBI has uncovered 14,900 more emails.
Round it up to 15 grand. 15,000.
Yeah, that the Clintons did not turn over to the State Department. And also, there's an interesting Clinton corruption, 10 inconvenient truths about the Clinton Foundation. There's some news that has come out about the Clinton Foundation. Hillary Clinton has announced, as well as Bill Clinton, announcing that regardless if they win the presidential nomination or not, that they're going to close down the Clinton Foundation. Some of the hacked information that has recently come out about the Clinton Foundation shows that it was a pay-to-play scheme. Over 50% of the non-governmental workers who met with Clinton while she was sitting in the State Department donated to her campaign, and in return received some sort of political favor, whether it was a job, whether it was a deal that went their way, a contract. And there are several documented cases. Now, these are non-governmental workers. So over half the people that met with Hillary Clinton at the State Department who do not hold an office inside the government or a foreign government made a donation of $100,000 or more to her foundation. This is the, what is called the pay to play. And those kind of statistics are just so far out there that it can't be construed as anything else, because Hillary Clinton has been known, along with Huma Abedin. It has come out that she has committed felonies under the Clinton Foundation, for the Clinton Foundation.
And let me throw something in here, because Huma Abedin has she also worked for the as an editor for her mother's publication, which blamed, folks, listen to this, 9/11, 2001, the day the towers came down. What was Huma Abedin doing? She was listed, she was working as an editor for a Muslim, for an Islamic publication that ultimately blamed 9/11 on America, on Americans, on us, on you and I. So, and this publication is the it is the sheet for the Muslim Brotherhood. It is the rag for the Muslim Brotherhood. So understand Huma Abedin, who sleeps behind locked doors in the same room with Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch, the Yak, Clinton, okay, is in fact part of this blame America for 9/11 stuff. Now, whether you think it was a inside job or had the elements of inside job, it doesn't matter. I get that. We all get that. We all understand that. That's not even arguable anymore. What is the absolute bullcrap by the media right now. And folks, listen to me. We are being gamed by the mainstream media, and this woman, this Huma Abedin, this Carlos Dangers, my dog, I'm lady doesn't like me talking like this. Our studio dog,
she just says,
oh, I'm out here. I'm going to the office where it's quieter. But the bottom line is this. She held four concurrent positions with her time. Well, overlapping, okay, to be fair. But nonetheless, four at the State Department. She's working at the State Department, including ties, direct ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. And our media has not come out and said, we need to investigate this? Are you out of your mind? Wolf Blitzer? Rachel Maddow, how do you explain your absence? And more importantly, the big talkers, how do you explain not talking about this? How do you explain not giving
not only not this? Talking about it, but calling people who do talk about it conspiracy theorists, marginalize them, cut their mics off, and completely obfuscate the issues at hand and
that's
the
right.
truth? Back to this article.
I'm getting twitching. I'm just twitching about Hillary, the Yak, and the Huma, and the Muslim Brotherhood, and the infiltration by the Muslims into our country, and the overtaking, and the people just yawning, rolling over, and saying, you know, what's on television? Go on.
10 inconvenient truths about the Clinton Foundation. Now, I'm just going to read the headlines, not the explanations. One, there are major overlaps between Clinton campaign donors and her foundation donors, raising ethical red flags. Two, several major Clinton Foundation donations came from companies lobbying the federal government, which is a huge conflict of interest. Three, the Clinton Foundation accepted millions from foreign governments. Four, Clinton Foundation accepted millions from other foreign sources while Clinton served as Secretary of State, which is another conflict of interest. Five, last week the Clinton Foundation announced they wouldn't take foreign or corporate money if Clinton is elected, but other countries still will be allowed to. Six, the FBI wanted to open an investigation into the Clinton Foundation, but the effort was scuttled by the Obama administration. Again, the FBI wanted to investigate the Clinton Foundation, but was stopped by the Obama administration. Seven, Clinton's chief of staff at State Department had a deep and simultaneous involvement in the Clinton Foundation. Top Clinton State Department aide helped Clinton Foundation, which is another huge conflict of interest. Eight, Sidney Blumenthal collected $10,000 a month from the Clinton Foundation while providing Libyan intelligence to Clinton. Nine, is the Clinton Foundation failed to disclose $26.4 million in speaking fees while Clinton was Secretary of State. And last but not least, since 2003, the Clinton Foundation has spent more than $50 million on travel. And this article goes into...
Wait. How much on travel?
$50
million. $50 million. Okay, since when?
Since 2003.
So, wait. 13 years, $50 million. What is that? Well, it's over $2 million a year, right?
It's less than the president. One of the important ones, number six, the FBI wanted to open an investigation into the Clinton Foundation, but the effort was scuttled by the Obama administration.
Well, okay, there it is. See, why are we this banana flipping republic, and why should we care? There it is, right there. Now, I'm wondering if we're going to have the opportunity, if with Trump, I'm wondering if Trump will open an investigation. And if Trump wins, this is something I'm going to ask him. And yes, I'm going to ask him this. You heard that, right?
Another news. New York Times tech columnist calls on Google to hide Hillary health info. So now they're telling her to hide Google to hide the Hillary health info. They're telling her to hide, they've scrubbed the Vince Foster references. They're censoring her, Google results when it comes to, oh goodness.
Well,
there is it here. There's so many of them, I can't keep track.
It's beyond even comprehension. You search for anything about Hillary and her health, it is going to lead you to, the search engine is going to lead you to the black abyss.
They're scrubbing any references to the body count. They've scrubbed the Vince Foster references. They are scrubbing the health information and so much more. Folks, we'll be right back after this with Holly Deo. Stay with us.
The Hagman and Hagman Report, live from northwest Earth. Pennsylvania. I was going to say, from our bunkers, we're going to need the bunkers. Talking this hour about the all things that are behind the scenes, a closer look. My wife just came into the studio. Hey, beautiful, just stay with. Stay here. You don't have to leave into the offices. There you go. Take care of the studio dog lady. Very exciting segments coming up, including Holly Deo. Next segment. That's right.
Next segment. Yep. Jumped the gun before the
break. And Stan Deo, of course, rounding out the final segment of the show tonight. So stay right where you're at. But before we get into the closer look, my wife did something earlier today that I wasn't expecting. She released my medical records on the internet. Now, with that release, there was this big...
How many flash drives did you need?
Quite a few, actually. Terabytes of information about my health.
Was it dental or just medical?
Just medical. Hey, knock that off now. Just all sorts of, because there's rumors about my health being, not that good and my ability to run this program. And I wanted to absolutely dispel any rumors of my illness, infirmaries, impairments. We'll do it right now. This answers everything. See, if you're not watching this live via YouTube, if you're visually impaired, that is, by virtue of the mechanisms, mechanically, visually impaired, I'm holding up a jar of pickles.
I got $2 as you can't do it.
Now, this has not been opened.
Let me test.
And for those of you who've been living on the rock, under a rock, Hillary proved her fitness for the office of the president by a jar of pickles.
So that was her physical.
Right. So let's see.
And who conducted that? Jimmy Kimmel?
Would you like to inspect this to make sure that, that has not been tampered with, otherwise opened or anything like that? Nope.
It's tight.
Okay. It's not.
No
it's,
seal.
It's unopened.
Okay.
Right? All right.
I got $2 as he still can't open.
So to dispel the rumors of my ill health, got to do this for you.
If you were, let's say, had diabetes, and you open that jar, are you diabetes free?
I don't know, but if you're going to talk, you mic up.
And are those the same kind of pickles? And is that the same jar that she opened on the show?
I don't know.
Because is that medically approved?
Hang on.
FDA approved.
Let me look here. It says approved for presidential fitness tests of all types in the United States of America, year 2016, Hillary Rodham, Diane the Witch, the Clinton. So, apparently. Did I get that? Get all that?
Yeah.
Okay. There it is. So, I shouldn't have done that.
No, you shouldn't have. All right. But it's okay.
Hang on. Let me try. All right. Here's a test.
About the strength of Hillary.
I'm going to get it. Hang on.
I don't know. No,
he can upset my jar. It upset my dog. All right.
You throw your back out?
Oh, did you hear that classic pop? So I am fit. So the rumors.
Congratulations.
The rumor,
they're calling your PCP tomorrow. No more of your ailments. No more blood tests. No more worry.
No more worry. So I had my wife actually run to the store and buy a jar of pickles and bring it to the studio. So, and my dog now is all upset. She's all.
She's gonna just grab some salsa.
She's gonna knock. She's gonna knock over the set here. So there we go. I just want to. So for anybody out there who's commenting on my health, my physical health, I'm fit. In fact, I should run for president.
Now, for those who are unfamiliar, why that is so important, last night on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Hillary Clinton opened a pickle jar in response to rumors about her health. Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump, and others have been questioning the health of Hillary Clinton. So, to challenge that, Clinton opened a jar of pickles. Jimmy Kimmel presented her with a challenge during an appearance on Monday's ABC The Late Night Talk Show. He also checked her pulse.
Oh, wait. Oh.
Now, I mind you, after this interview, she took about a 14-hour nap. but she's back at it today.
How many pillows did Jimmy prop her up with? speaking of Hillary, Diane Rodham, the Yak, the witch, the Yak Clinton, the Closer Look segment here talks about... we're going to be talking a little bit more. Joe led off with the Google censoring
of many issues from the Google censoring of Hillary Clinton's health records, the Google censoring of Hillary Clinton body count, the scrubbing of the FBI files of Hillary Clinton's relation to the suicide of Vince Foster,
right,
as well as other instances. Well, like the Army Operational Special Forces brief listing Hillary Clinton as an insider threat.
And isn't it funny that none of us have that distinction, which is a good thing. But yet Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch, the Yak Clinton does. So, but you know, it's the body count is a continually evolving number, folks. But look. One of the highest-ranking government officials since JFK to die in office under mysterious circumstances, of course, is Vince Foster, Deputy White House Counsel, in July of 1993. And we need to pay attention to this. Alan Favish, who has website alanjfavish.com, had done a lot of research, done a lot of investigations of his own into the Foster death. Now, here's where I get really, really protective of the audience and extremely concerned about what we talk about here. You will find, for example, today's Daily Mail that referenced, Joe, what you were talking about. Daily Mail, I believe it was, out of the UK, really forcing the fact that Foster's death was indeed a suicide, but it questioned everything else.
Yes.
right.
No, it was the Daily Mail UK exclusive. Right. Missing FBI files linking Hillary Clinton to the suicide of White House counsel Vince Foster have vanished from the National Archives.
Okay. Now I looked at this, and I did a lot of research or a lot of analyzing of this particular piece. Read the comments at the time. I think I looked at it. There were several hundred comments, but they really are pushing the suicide angle. So I'm looking at this and wondering, what's the objective here? Is the objective to really get to the truth? And as I continued and really drove down for the actual information, here is the truth according to the Hagman and Hagman report, because as defined initially by the research of Alan J. Favish, who also used the research of two independent researchers, other independent researchers, Patrick Knowlton and Hugh Turley. And they also cited Miguel Rodriguez, one of the U.S. Attorneys investigating this as well. Let me summarize this very quickly. Trump had come out not too long ago saying something is very fishy about the Vince Foster death, and he was immediately taken to task by people. Foster, of course, was Clinton's deputy White House counsel, who was found dead in Fort Marcy Park on July 20th, 1993. Now, I've got pictures of me in Fort Marcy Park not too long after that, and if you would see how I look, and the reason I haven't published it is because I look like I'm, I don't know, I look a lot better than I don't know. I look certainly a lot different.
Now, folks, with the FBI, the box that is in question contained dozens of FBI reports concerning Foster's death, including interviews with the medical examiner, U.S. Park Police officers, and White House aides about the contents of Foster's office. The reports on Hillary Clinton's role in his death were absent.
Right.
And this is coming from author David Painter, who has visited the box on numerous occasions, conducting investigations into Foster's death through using the FBI notes and files, and those documents have been the same on each visit except for this latest one.
So some might say, well, that they were put in another box. You're looking at numerous boxes. They were misfiled, whatever. But the bottom line is they weren't where they're supposed to be. And you've got operatives for this regime. And I'm talking about the current criminal cabal in D.C. inside the Beltway, who are working on behalf. Sorry about this. Again, hair and makeup failed us again. Who are working, it's kind of like being wired up by the FBI. Okay. This is how they do it. They let all the wires show. Okay. Anyway. Heck with that. So here's what this is. Two independent counsels separately issued public reports on the murder of Foster. Some publications, some investigative journalists, researchers, whatever, will claim, well, it was a suicide, but they moved the body. I don't believe that at all. And anyone who does push that narrative, in my view, is either connected to or influenced by the Clinton criminal cabal in some way, shape, or form. Just look down through that list of the possibilities, I suppose.
Now, folks, you need to do your research on this. If you do the research, you will find conflicting witness reports. You will find conflicting reports about the car, his car.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to get into that.
There was another car that was there at the time of his death that was not his car. There was an unknown Hispanic male that seemed to be a part of this. There were conflicting reports from police officers whether there was a gun in his hand or not.
And even the pictures are an issue.
The wounds on from the medical examiner looked like they were doctored intentionally to mislead the public on the actual cause and way of death.
Well, Alan Favish filed a Freedom of Information Act request, a lawsuit to enforce his request for records. culminated on March 30th, 2004. Now, that's 12 years ago. And you might think, well, what does this have to do with current events? It has everything to do with current events because Hillary, the yak, is running, of course, for the highest office in the land. And we've got the, we've got a lot of issues, a lot of co-conspirators here, in my view, still in the power circles in DC. But Favish did a great job, filed a lawsuit. It culminated March of 2004 when the United States Supreme Court issued its opinion in that specific case titled National Archives and Records Administration, which is NARA versus Allen Favish. 541 U.S. 157, 2004. You can access. All you have to do is just type in Favish and NARA, and you'll find the actual transcripts and the oral arguments online. But having said that, there were two different counsels, two independent counsels, who issued public reports on the death of Foster. The first was regulatory. Independent counsel Robert Fisk, you remember that, the Fisk report. He issued his report on June 30th, 1994. The second was Kenneth Starr, of course. He was appointed under a different statute, and he issued his report in July 1997 to a three-judge panel of federal appellate court judges to whom he reported. Now, that panel released Starr's Foster report to the public in October of 1997. So it would be 4 months, 3 months, or 4 months after, 3 months after after the report was completed. So by the time the Supreme Court got involved in the case, and the Favish case had been to the U.S. Courts of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit twice, the various parties arguing over whether the 10 original Polaroid photographs that Joe mentioned of Foster's body, they were arguing over those. As the Supreme Court explained, after the federal district court judge decided that 5 of the 10 photographs should be made public, the Ninth Circuit decided that only 4 should be made public. Now, that's kind of the backdrop. And the U.S. Supreme Court decided 9-0 to block disclosure of all the photographs. All right. Now, one did make its way into the tabloids. How did that happen? Well, that's really not important at this point, but here's the backstory, and here's what's important. All right, there was a memorandum dated December 9th through 29, 1994, on the subject of November 29, 1994 meeting concerning a Foster death matter and supplemental investigation prior to grand jury. That's a mouthful, but that's the memorandum title. It states that one of the Polaroid photos clearly depicts a burnt mark appearing, a blood stain, burnt mark, a wound on Foster's neck. Now, think about that for a second. On Foster's neck. The memorandum states that Miguel Rodriguez, was confident that this was caused by a stun gun or a taser, similar type weapon. The memorandum states that an autopsy photograph, which was not a Polaroid, but a full 35 millimeter camera, taken in the park, shows 2 puncture wounds on the right side of Foster's neck, and that the D.C. medical examiner, which would be at that time Dr. Beyer, observed the appearance of crater-like indentations on the right side of the neck. So you've got the medical examiner, you've got photographic evidence, and you've got testimony stating, look, there was a mark, there was a wound, anti-mortem wound, or perimortem wound on Foster's, right side of Foster's neck, which it was discolored, had blood on it, and it was an indentation. All right. This is why this is so critical, because just that alone should be sending up all sorts of alarm bells. Now, Favish attempted to get the deposition of Rodriguez and such, but everything was denied because no one wants the truth. And then Favish was looking at this case and was led to WorldNet Daily back in February of this year, and saw the documentation that Patrick Knowlton and Hugh Turley put on WorldNet Daily. So anyway, in his lawsuit, he filed a 750-page three-volume document called the Excerpts of Record. This is Favish now. It consists of copies of all the relevant documents concerning this case. Now, when these documents were cited in the briefs, the excerpts of record were just reference her initial as ER. So there were, with his argument, there were corresponding page numbers, all this. So I'm going to just hit this very quickly and just the headlines part of this. Fisk and Starr did not discuss the FBI memorandum that states no exit wound. In other words, 2 days after the autopsy, which was done on Foster, the FBI, an FBI agent sent a memo to the director of the FBI stating that preliminary results include the finding that a 38 caliber revolver constructed of two separate weapons was fired into the victim's mouth with no exit wound.
And I'm sorry if you covered this, but the gun identified was not the gun that Mrs. Foster,
that's correct,
identified as her husband's gun.
This gun was actually the creation from two separate guns, two separate serial numbers that no one had ever seen.
Yeah, wasn't the gun part of two separate guns put together
as
the B1?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Now, the medical report of a neck wound was not discussed by Fisk, by Starr, or by anyone else. Officially, there was no neck wound, and the totality of this was Foster shot himself in the mouth, leaving an exit hole in the back of the head. That was the official story. The only medical doctor, folks, to view Foster's body at the park, which was Dr. Donald Haut, H-A-U-T, wrote a two-page report that is internally inconsistent. He said that on the first page it says that the death shot was a mouth-to-head, but on the second page it describes a mouth-to-neck shot. Think about that and the inconsistencies there. Moreover, the report appears to have been improperly altered following its submission. On page 3, there's a section near the bottom of the page on the left side, and I saw this form, and you can find this form as well. Cause of death, perforating gunshot wound, mouth-head. But when you look close, there appears to be a four-letter word that was whited out before head. So something between mouth and head and the hyphens there was whited out or somehow obliterated on this particular form. Fisk never discussed the Haut report. Starr quoted from the apparently altered language, never talked about the neck wound, failed to discuss both the alteration as well as the neck wound, and it's clear as a bell that there was some hanky-panky going on, not just with the medical examiner and the doctor on the scene, but with the records. So if any of the Democratic Socialist, progressives, Marxist, Leninist, communist supporters of the Clinton, the Yak, with the witch, want to talk about facts, here are facts. These are not pickle jar facts. These are dead accurate facts. Starr failed to explain why the apparent alteration is missing on one version of the Haut report. There were three certified copies of the Haut report, or H-A-U-T report. Name of Dr. Haut. One was certified on November 2nd, 1994. The second certified on January 30th, 1995. And the third was certified March 20th, 2000. So, you got November 94, January 95, and March of 2000. The first and third copies contain what appears to be an alteration that's improper. That's the November 94 and the March of 2000. The second certified copy fails to show this apparent alteration. Starr, nonetheless, failed to explain what's going on with this. Why? Well, very quickly here. I'm going to move on. These are just a couple inconsistencies and don't even touch really on the meat of it. The Starr failed to report that a park police officer and Dr. Haut said that they did not see any blood spatter. Now, if you've ever seen someone put a 38 caliber weapon in their mouth, pull the trigger, I'm going to tell you something, you're in for a mess, especially if your walls are white and you've got white carpeting. I don't want to be graphic here, but I've seen my share of these. But a United States Park police officer who examined Foster's body and at the park testified that he saw a pool of blood just under his head, a gun in his right hand, which appeared to be a 38, but no sign of a struggle, no obvious other signs of trauma to the body. But the same officer reported that there was no blood spatter on the plants or surrounding trees or vegetation or anything like that. So, where's the blood spatter? That would suggest an exit wound. But, or even the spatter around the vegetation. None of these statements was discussed in the Starr report. Starr failed to report evidence that initially that there was no gun on Foster's hand. You had, officially, Foster was found with a gun in his hand, officially, I said. But then the first person that officially found Foster's body said that there was no gun in his hand. So which is it? Gun, no gun, disappearing gun, which gun, who knows? Fisk and Starr relied upon invalid gun identification. This goes to what you said, Joe. Starr failed to report that Fisk relied on invalid gun identification from Foster's widow, and Foster's widow has been adamant in not releasing any of this information. But the continuing on, Fisk and Starr failed to report that the Park Police Chief made a false statement about alleged identification of the gun. Yes, yes, this happens. At a press conference, August 10th, 1993, Robert Langston, then Chief of U.S. Park Police, said that the Foster family had identified the official death gun as one of Foster's guns. Uh-oh, wait a second, but there's a statement, but that statement was false at the time it was made. The press conference was given by Philip Heyman. He was the Deputy Attorney General, then Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General, I can talk. Robert Bryant, then Special Agent in Charge of Washington, D.C., Metropolitan Field Office of the FBI, and Chief Langston during this press conference. They misidentified or actually prematurely identified the gun. So it had to be false at the time the statement was made. Lastly, Starr, and this is something that people, when I had talked about this, they did not know this, and I had mentioned this before. Starr failed to report that Foster's tongue and parts of the soft palate were removed before the police arrived for the autopsy. If you're in law enforcement, here's how it goes. If you catch a case, you're working a homicide or a suicide or whatever the case is, there's an autopsy scheduled. If that autopsy is scheduled for 7 o'clock and you're the investigative detective, you're there at 7 o'clock before the medical examiner makes a cut on the corpse, on the body. Okay? That's how it works. Yet when the Starr reported that several police officers observed the autopsy and quoted one of the officers who wrote that after he briefed the autopsy doctor, the doctor started the autopsy. But what he didn't report was before anyone even got into the ME's office, the tongue was gone. The Foster's tongue was cut out. I will say this to you. I certainly believe that was not done not for forensic reasons or even counter forensic reasons. That was done to send a message. That's my personal opinion. And send a message to who? Because who would see that? Anyone attending an autopsy. That's my view. There are forensic measures needed for that to take place. Okay, I mean, there's a reason for the tongue to be removed and the soft palate to be removed, but not before the start of the autopsy. So and this is my personal opinion, and my professional opinion, not only is the omission significant by Starr, but the act itself was intended to send a message. And, of course, you mentioned this, Joe, and I'm going to just close with this. Starr failed to report evidence that the Foster's car was not at the park at the time his body was found. Oh, it was there afterwards, but not there at the time he was found. And there's so much more to that case. But folks, the reason that's important goes back to what Joe said. The closer look at this, the Clinton body count, the Clinton cabal of criminality, the Clinton homicide count. Folks, this is the reason we have to take a closer look at this. Next segment up is Hollydale. And before we get to that, I just want to mention this, and then I'm going to back off here. Just so proud to be part of the Minuteman Rocket Stove Company. When I say part of it, so proud to be able to talk about this. The Minuteman Rocket Stove, folks, is perfect for survival cooking for you, your family, for a lot of reasons. It's a biomass burning stove, requires only a small amount of sticks, twigs for fuel. You always will be able to burn or to use this. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's a great tool. If you don't have one in your pantry, get it now, because Joe, as you mentioned, they have a special where they're offering what? Fire starters.
One free fire starter and free shipping. It's an ammo can with 1/8-inch reinforced steel.
That's right.
Along with a welded burner on it.
It's self-contained.
Very portable, easy to clean, efficient, easy to use. MinutemanStove.com.
That's right. It's the only self-contained rocket stove on the market that seals airtight for travel and for storage.